These are all of our stories. These are who we are as Americans.
Freedom leads to prosperity. Freedom is the victor.
This is the podcast of Grassroots Radio Colorado with your host, Chris Cook.
Welcome. I am Chris Cook. This is the Grassroots Radio Colorado podcast. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. And I owe you guys a few podcasts. It's been a busy few weeks, and I apologize for that. I really do try to get these out Monday through Thursday, and it's just been very hard with meetings and so forth. I had the great pleasure of speaking at the North Jeffco Tea Party last Thursday. And thank you so much, Jimmy, for inviting me. And thank you to my fellow presenters, George Thanasopoulos and Kim Davis, I believe is her last name. And it was a fun meeting. A lot of great questions. And we talked about politics and Colorado politics and what we're looking at with the Central Committee meeting this Saturday and threats to our Colorado delegation, which I have covered at length on this podcast. And so I appreciated the opportunity to speak in public about that and try to get the word out. An update on that before we get into the main issue of tonight's podcast. It looks like, and we're hoping at this point, it looks like we may have won freedom for our delegation at the convention. I say that because it does not appear that there is any sort of an organized effort to either have a February caucus, which would, of course, reduce the size of our delegation, or have a straw poll at any point in the national delegation selection process, which would bind our delegates to a particular candidate, whether or not that candidate was still in the race. And between those two factors, it looks like we're actually going to have no straw poll at any point, even at the State Assembly. It also looks like we are going to have a March caucus. Chairman Steve House has come out in support of both the March caucus and not having a straw poll. And so from that perspective, that's great. It really is. And I'm really, really glad to see that happen. See the freedom, have our free agents, 37 free agents, go to the RNC convention in July in Cleveland and be able to be kingmakers. That's the thing that we needed. And so from that perspective, I think it's really, really a good thing. And it looks like we've won freedom for our Colorado delegation. So I want to applaud everybody who has been talking about this for the last few weeks, everybody who has weighed in on the issue, talked about how important it is to make sure that we are maintaining that, and who have weighed in. And I want to thank also Chairman Steve House for coming out publicly on the side of maintaining the freedom of our delegation. So for those of you who know me, you know that's a surprising statement for me to make right now. But I do want to thank him publicly on this podcast for having done so. So there you go. What I wanted to talk about tonight, though, is not Colorado politics. I want to talk about Ben Carson. And I don't talk about Ben a lot. He's not my pick for president. Definitely not somebody that I really believe has the experience. Not that that's always the weighing factor, but I don't believe that he has the experience or the insight, perhaps, into that office and into being the commander-in-chief and being that guy. I think he would make an amazing Surgeon General. I think that, you know, there's a lot of roles that he can play and use those as a bully pulpit if he so chooses. But I don't believe that president is where I personally really want to see Ben, and I know that a lot of you do support him. I like the things that he has to say. That's not totally how I pick a candidate. So, you know, for those who react to the things that he has to say positively, yes, he really does say some good things. He said some good things yesterday on Sunday on the on Meet the Press. And I've got to talk about this because it just blows my mind. I ran across this article in Daily Cause, which it turns my stomach to read Daily Cause. It really does. But I do it so you don't have to. So there you go. Yesterday, when Ben Carson was on Meet the Press, Chuck Todd asked him, should a president's faith matter? And Carson's response was, I guess it depends on what that faith is. If it is inconsistent with the values and principles of America, then of course it should matter. Do you believe that Islam is consistent with the Constitution? Todd asked, and Carson said, no, I do not. I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation. I absolutely would not. And of course, the left blogosphere just goes nuts. They just can't stand it when anybody actually speaks out against Islam. Anybody who actually tells the truth about this neo-political ideology and puts it out there and decides that, oh, it's just a religion and how can you be so discriminatory and, oh my goodness, that can't be against American values. It's against American values to say that people can't practice their religion. Well, of course people can practice a religion. That's fine. That's part of what this country was founded on, part of why this country was founded in the first place. The Puritans came over here because they could not achieve freedom where they were. Get that, okay? A neo-political ideology is a completely different animal. And why do I call Islam that? And I've said that many, many, many times. Why do I call Islam not a religion, but a neo-political ideology? A religion, let's define religion. Googled it, and so that's where I'm coming from. And Wikipedia, not the greatest source, but you know, this is a good working definition. A religion is an organized collection of beliefs, cultural systems, and worldviews that relate humanity to an order of existence. Many religions have narratives, symbols, and sacred histories that aim to explain the meaning of life, the origin of life, or the universe. Another defining factor of religion is that it has a set of duties. It has a set of things that you are supposed to do. If you're a Christian, you have the Great Commission. You're supposed to go out and spread these ideas by persuading people. You're supposed to go out and spread these ideas, the idea of Christ and his sacrifice or you know, whatever. I mean, that's the great set of duties that we have as Christians is to go out and continue to talk to people about this stuff, witness. If you're Jewish, and I'm not Jewish, and so if I get this wrong, please let me know. But you have a set of duties to the community that you are supposed to fulfill that include worship, that include eating in a certain way, and being part of that community and fulfilling those commandments, those things that were handed down. Islam is different because Islam's set of duties, part of the set of duties of Islam is to wipe out all the infidels and get rid of the rest of us, either by force or by killing us, either by forcing us to submit. And that's really what Islam means. It's the religion of peace. It's the religion of submission. That's the true definition of Islam. That's the true translation of the word. I'm not making this up. So submission to Allah and submission to Islam is one and the same within the Muslim religion. So from that perspective, you can see how easily it goes from being simply a religion to a neo-political ideology, because you have to use the guns of government, you have to use force, you have to use coercion in order to spread these ideas. It's part of the commandments handed down to those who practice this religion. Now, I will be the first to say, not every Muslim does this. not every Muslim has this overwhelming desire to go out and conquer the rest of the world so that they can all become Islam or they can all become Muslim. I don't believe that. I don't believe that that's the case. The problem is that it's built into the faith base of Islam itself. And so I call it a neopolitical ideology because Ben Carson is absolutely right. Islam is not consistent with the Constitution. Islam is not consistent with the things, the principles upon which the United States was founded. You can practice your religion all day long, and I applaud you for that. Absolutely. But you cannot impose your religion on me. And that is the desire. That is the desire, the philosophical desire of Islam itself, is to impose beliefs on other people. That is antithetical to the Constitution. That is antithetical to freedom. That is antithetical to everything that we stand for. Implementing a new law, implementing a new role of laws within society, i.e. Sharia, that is not compatible with the Constitution. It's not compatible with the 14th Amendment. It's not compatible with any of the principles that our country was founded on. Implementing Sharia law means that we do not have equal application of the laws. We have a different set of laws that apply. And the way that that would work out within our legal system would be disastrous in terms of who you have to submit to, who you have to make sure that your legal system or, you know, whatever legal actions you've taken are also in compliance with Sharia. From a business standpoint, from a personal standpoint, this does not work. In addition, Islam advocates that if somebody is living their lives against Islam, if they are living their lives not in compliance with Islam, they can be killed. Think of the honor killings. And this happens here in our borders. It happens in Dearborn, Michigan. I don't know how much has happened here in Denver, but it happens like in Dearborn, Michigan. You hear these stories about these young girls who are killed. They're stoned to death because they have put on eye makeup or something, or they've decided that they did not want to accept an arranged marriage or whatever they have done to work outside the laws of Sharia that the Sharia allows for their death, for their killing, for their murder. That is absolutely antithetical to the principles upon which this country was founded. That is not something that we can uphold in the name of religion. That is not something that we can endorse by saying, well, that's their religion. They get to live their lives the way that they want to. Not when you're killing people. You don't. The whole idea behind this freedom of religion concept that Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion. The whole concept is that we have freedom of conscience. We have freedom in how we can think, and we get to act on those beliefs. That's my natural right. That's my natural God-given right to be able to think my own thoughts, have my own free will, make my decisions based on those, and accept the consequences of those. You know, that is my natural right. And if you are a Muslim woman who goes against the precepts of Islam and the elders within your community decide that therefore you must die, you no longer have that freedom. All citizens of the United States should have that freedom. All citizens, period, everywhere on this earth should have that freedom. But particularly here where they are specifically protected. And so when I look at the totality of what Islam stands for, the allowance for taqiyya, for lying in service of the faith, for deception, these are not ideas that are compatible with a principled United States based upon a constitution that protects our rights. So when Ben Carson says to Chuck Todd, no, I do not believe that Islam is consistent with the Constitution, He is absolutely correct. He is absolutely correct. Now, Daily Kos spends a lot of time talking in this article about how it's just a religion and here's all the reasons why we should, you know, allow it. It doesn't matter who is running for president and blah, blah, blah. We'll go over these here in a few minutes because this kind of thought process, I didn't use a bad word, this kind of thought process needs to be debunked. We need to understand exactly what it is that we're dealing with. We need to be cognizant of what the effect would be on the United States. So I'll be right back.
Don't say you got everything, gonna be everyone, gotta be everyone.
And welcome back. That is a tune from Lorenzo's Music called Just Had to Let You Know. Find that at freemusicarchive.org. I am Chris Cook. You're listening to the Grassroots Radio Colorado podcast. And before I go on, I want to thank everybody who has come to the Grassroots Radio Colorado Facebook page and liked that page. We hit 6,000 likes this week. That is a huge milestone, a huge milestone. So that's very, very exciting. Tell your friends about this podcast. Come to the Facebook page, tell your friends about the Facebook page, and let's get this community going. I would love to see some more engagement on that page and have conversations about this stuff. You know, let's have some interesting conversations. Let's talk about where maybe you think I've gone off the deep end, that maybe I'm just being a right winger somehow and not actually talking about the realities of the world, that I'm being unprincipled because I have my tinfoil hat on. Whatever. I want to engage you guys. So facebook.com/grassrootsradiocolorado. You can always email me, Chris, K-R-I-S, at grassrootsradiocolorado.com. And again, find the podcast. If you did not pick this up out of the Podomatic feed, it's grrc.podomatic.com. And that's where you can find the podcast. So I love seeing, I like numbers, okay? It's what I do. I do like numbers. So this article in Daily Kos, taking Ben Carson to task for having said that Islam is not consistent with the Constitution, as often is the case, almost always is the case with leftist progressives who are trying to tear down the statements that we make, there are obviously a lot of logical fallacies that they commit. The one that I love the best when it comes to this issue is they build up how Islam and Judaism and Christianity all basically came out of the same tradition. They all came from the very same early stories, and you know, so therefore we're all really just brothers, right? You know, we're all just brothers and sisters in all of this, and just believe a little bit differently. It's not that different. You know, they're just a little bit different than us. They still recognize Jesus as a great prophet. They don't believe he's the Messiah, neither do Jews. Okay, yeah, I get that. But the problem comes in when you talk about what Muhammad said that his followers had to do. You go back and you read the Quran and you read that you read what's acceptable about what you can do to young women and girls. I mean, really, the man was a pedophile. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. I'm not PC. The man was a pedophile. He believed that you could have sex with young girls. That's what he believed. And that's what he told his followers they should do. You know, there's just so much. There's so much about Islam. Part of the problem, I had somebody explaining this to me the other day, and I thought this was a really, really good point. Christianity and Judaism both went through reforms. We both went through a reformation where the culture stepped back, where the religion stepped back, the theology stepped back, really, and took a new look at itself to determine what it was all about and to move forward with the new basics and to create these religions, these cultures around these beliefs that were in line with what Christianity was really about, the divinity of Christ, what Judaism was really about, the search for the Messiah. You know, these things are part and parcel after the Reformation of these religions, because we stepped away from the strict observance piece and determined what was at the bottom of all this, philosophically, what was at the bottom of all this. And you contrast that with Islam. Now, Islam was, at one point in time, the height of culture. You know, this was really where it was. It was the height of culture. They had this flowering artistic tradition and mathematical and intellectual tradition. And they invented the zero, you know. I mean, it's stuff like that. We still use Arabic numerals. That's what we use, our Arabic numerals. And it comes out of the flourishing of Muslim culture before the 13th century. And in the 13th century, basically Muslim lands were sacked. They were destroyed. The culture was absolutely destroyed, and you know, people were killed, and it was the Mongols, thank you. The Mongols coming in and destroying Persia and all of that flowering culture. And out of that terror from the Mongols arose these factions that were way behind. I mean, very much backwater type folks who were brutal in how they fought back, because they were the safe choice. They were the warlords. They were the safe choice. And so that was the culture that took over in the 13th century and continues to this day. I'm not an expert on Islamic history by any stretch of the imagination. I'm getting this from one friend that I was listening to talking about all this. But that makes a lot of sense. And because of that restart that they had, Islam has never had a reformation. They've never had a step back to look at what is this really all about and how do we live according to these precepts. It's been simply everybody else needs to submit to us. And that's the baseline that they're working from. And so when the leftist progressives decide that they're going to attack us, they try to draw a line between Christians who are murderous, or murderers who happen to be Christian is probably a better way to put it, and you know, these radical Islamists who are just simply murderers who happen to be Muslim. And what they fail to recognize is the very, very different cultures that exist between these two things. Radical Islamists are a natural outgrowth of Islamic belief. Radical Islamists are actually acting in accordance with Islam. They are actually acting in accordance with what the religion tells them to do. Go out and wage jihad. Make sure that the rest of the world submits to the Islamic yoke. That is what they are doing, is actually acting in accordance with their beliefs. Murderers who happen to be Christian are acting against their beliefs. Or beliefs that they probably don't even really hold. But, you know, anybody who claims that they are out there doing God's work by murdering people is not acting as a Christian. And that is the breakdown. And that's the part that the leftist progressives never seem to be able to point out. They never acknowledge that. Instead, they just talk about how all these white people killed people. All these white Christians killed people, so therefore maybe we shouldn't have a Christian running for president. It's such a BS line to go down, because that is not what we're looking at. We're not looking at a religion in Christianity that encourages going out and murdering people, encourages going out and making sure that everyone else submits by force to the Christian ideals. That is not how Christianity works. It's exact opposite, as a matter of fact, as to how Christianity works. Islam, on the other hand, if radical Islamists are going out waging jihad and using taqiya in order to lie, cheat, and steal their way into making other people submit, That is acting perfectly in accordance with Islam. That is acting perfectly in accordance with the precepts of that neopolitical ideology. That's why it is a neopolitical ideology, because that they believe in the use of force. They believe in the use of government. They believe that everything is subject to Sharia, including our government, including our rights. Everything is it should be subjugated to Islam. That is not compatible with the United States Constitution. It is not compatible with our individual rights. Now, can Muslims practice their religion? In other words, can they go pray at the mosques and you know, have their halal and, you know, all that, all the pieces of that? Sure. Absolutely. The second that you infringe on my rights as an American, then you have overstepped the bounds. And so when you put somebody who holds that religion, who holds those ideals, those precepts in the highest office in the land, especially as much power as has been granted to that office over the course of the past 15 years, that is when it becomes a serious problem. And it's a serious threat to Christian America. It's a serious threat to America, period. I believe in their ability to worship. They cannot infringe on my rights. And that is where it ends. This isn't tough. These aren't hard concepts. They're not PC, because we're taught that, oh, all of these religions are equal. It's not true. We're taught that everyone, you know, just wants the same things. That's not true. And once we understand that, once we face the reality of that, and I think it's important that Americans do face the reality of that, especially as we're looking at bringing in at least 100,000 refugees, most likely from the Middle East, into our country, into our borders. We need to understand what the real threat posed by Islam is to the American way of life. If they act peacefully, if they do not try to infiltrate, if they don't try to take over our legal system, our rights, then everything will be fine. But that's not likely to happen. One thing that I would recommend to you, and I still need to go back and watch the entire series, you need to see Understanding the Threat by Frank Gaffney, and watch the videos from John Guandolo. You need to look into Frank Gaffney, both of them. I saw the both of them speak at Western Conservative Summit a year and a half ago. Terrifying, the information that they had. John Guandolo is an FBI counterterrorism expert and an expert on Islam and how the Islamic nation is actually inside the United States. Frank Gaffney is I can't remember which organization he's with, but he works closely with John. Amazing, amazing stuff. I will post links to both of their websites, and I would highly encourage you to look into this. Look in and get involved with acting against terrorism. Get involved with some of these groups, because this is a threat. This is a threat, and it's time to call a spade, that it is a threat. We cannot continue to pussyfoot around this issue. We cannot continue to give in to the leftist progressive PC agenda that says that we can't say these things. We can't speak up like this. We can't do that. BS. We have to. This is our very survival at stake. We have to. We have to understand what we're facing. We have to be real about what we're facing. And we have to fight it. Thanks for listening to me tonight. It's been a great time. And I will be back here. I promise I will be back here tomorrow to talk about some other thing that's happened. I'm sure it'll be a good one. Until then, remember, America is great because Americans are great. So go out there and be exceptional.